You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We're not asking any one officer to be a hero and walk into a suicide situation. But, you know, from the videos and what's coming out, they had the equipment. They had the firepower. And more importantly, you know, there was a lot of focus on breaching the door into the classroom. Well, these classrooms had windows as well. I don't care if you have to drive a police vehicle through that door. You get in there and you save lives. It's just, again, it's just incredibly difficult to watch. And it's probably, you know, I've gone as far as calling it disgusting.
Those are the words of Curtis Lovero, Executive Director of National School Safety, 25 years in law enforcement, talking about the video that's now been made public, of course, inside the hallways of Uvalde School during that shooting back in May. This is July 14th, 2022. We are live streaming as I speak at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, search engine, one word, Larry Connors USA. It'll take you to our Rumble page. You'll see previous postings, and you can also see where you push to hear and see watch live in studio. Glad to have you. Or you can pull it up later and watch it then if you choose. Curtis Lovero was giving that interview with KVUE of Austin. All of this is more reaction, of course, to the Uvalde shooting, especially after the video got released. We do still have a link to that video posted at LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com. I will read you some of the comments I've gotten from folks who have seen the postings and started to say they were going to look at it. And some of them, one of them in particular, said, "I just can't watch this." Well, there's nothing in the video, and I'm not trying to say it's not horrific as you watch it. You don't really see any children being shot down. You certainly don't see any dead children or even injured children. It's just the action in the hallway of what police were or were not doing. One child appears as he comes back from a bathroom break, and he looks down the hallway and sees the gunman suddenly opening fire on his classroom. So he turns and runs back for safety, understandably. Police officers arrive 3 to 5 minutes, and some of them go down the hallway, and they're near the door, and suddenly there's gunfire, and they all start running back down the hallway to get behind additional cover. That's what Curtis Lovero is having a difficult issue with. So we're not asking them to be suicide, but at least if you breach and go through at that moment, you're distracting the gunman from what he was doing, and that was killing children. We're going to spend more time on this story in the next hour. I am a big supporter of police officers, firefighters, all first responders. And many of them do their job on a constant basis, daily basis, putting their lives on the line for us, and they're not appreciated enough. In fact, many times they're slandered and slurred. But there are times we need to examine what they did not do and they should have done. And we thought from Columbine, we learned we don't wait. We don't wait because kids are being killed at the time. Biden's White House economic staff still smiling while you're suffering. I know you're suffering. They want you to suffer. They just think things aren't that bad. Well, there's a 15-page report from a committee to unleash prosperity pointing out 62% of the 70 in the Biden administration dealing with economic policy have zero years experience. Biden, of course, is now in Saudi Arabia begging for oil. As I told you yesterday, there's word of a faster-spreading Omicron COVID-19. Is this going to be a medical issue or a political game play again by Democrats? Fentanyl deaths. We have 250 a day in this country. 250 a day. There are some clues you can maybe pick up if someone is suffering a fentanyl poisoning and they're not even aware of it. Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, will join us with some of those details that might save some lives for you. And radical Dems continue to try to turn the world upside down. The latest target, Title IX, has to include gender identity. John Schweppe of the American Principles Project, a advocacy group for parents, says, do not let this happen. They're destroying our world and our children in the process. And then Biden tells a story the other day about a 10-year-old girl who was raped, had to go to a neighboring state for an abortion. He left out some very important facts. Did he know them? I'm assuming he did, but we'll find out. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
When it snows, it'll rain Sunday. I know. Shining down like water. I won't know. Have you ever seen me?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I think you'll see it change sooner than quicker than more rapidly than it will take than most people think. Every other aspect of the economy is racing ahead. It's doing incredibly well.
Now, obviously, the war in Ukraine has happened since then, which is partially to blame for higher gas prices, although Putin's forces were on the border right then. But it just seems clear that the Biden administration has misjudged how bad inflation was going to get for months and months and months.
Well, now there's another example of the so-called state-controlled media suddenly striking back. That's Jake Tapper of CNN saying, we don't see anything getting better. You were hearing first Joe Biden referring to how great the economy is and it's going to get even better. That was on December 10, 2021. He said inflation had peaked. You know what the inflation number was yesterday, released for June? 9.1%. In May, it was 8-something. In April, it was around 7. Now, it's been going up every month. It's going to go up again at the end of this month. And to his credit, and I like to give credit when it's due, to even if it is CNN, Jake Tapper, pointing out that, well, the war in Ukraine had not started at the time Biden made those statements, but at the same time, it's obviously clear, and I'm quoting Tapper again, the Biden administration has misjudged how bad inflation was going to get for months and months and months. And then he took that same approach, and with that Biden bite already played, asked one of the White House economic, the chair of the White House Economic Council, Cecilia Rouse, her explanation for it dragging on and on and on when we supposedly were going to hear it was going to be better.
The inflation we're seeing is due to the pandemic and is due to the war. And we're not done with this pandemic. We're now seeing that China is under threat of lockdown again. While we have made great progress on many aspects of the supply chain, we're not done with this pandemic.
We're not done with this pandemic. And I got to stress to you again. Yesterday I told you, word is out about a new COVID mutant variant that is more infectious, might be even more deadly than COVID. We don't know that COVID-19. A lot of stuff still trying to develop. And I had to ask you, is this a real concern or is this going to be a political play by Democrats as we move into November, trying to say again, one, well, inflation continues to be bad. We're not out of the pandemic. See, here's this new mutant. Look, if you have serious health concerns, I don't want you to be laughing and say, well, it's nothing to be concerned about. It could be for you. You need to be talking with your doctor. But all of us should be asking how much of this is real and how much it is, again, smoke and mirrors, because back to Cecilia Rouse talking about how the inflation rate just hit 9.1%.
The president he's focused on a couple of things. One is in terms of gas prices and energy prices, he is working to do what he can. It is why we need to get more oil product on the market. It's why he has authorized the historic release from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. There's a million barrels a day that are going into the market, working with partners and allies to ensure that that is making a small difference. It's not going to solve the problem, but it is making a difference in terms of gasoline prices. Two, he's in the Middle East. He recognizes that we need to ensure that we have a global supply of oil. And so he's working with partners and allies. He welcomes OPEC mm-hmm. Plus's decision yeah. to increase supplies. He has waived the ethanol 15 regulations in order to have more oil available at more reasonable prices. He's calling on the Congress to waive and to put right. a gas price gas tax holiday.
Well, that's an impressive list, and yet we're still at 9.1% when back in December he said everything's going to get better and better. Now, again, that was before Russia invaded, but they were already surrounding Ukraine, showing every intent of doing so. I'll let you decide it the way you want to, but in my opinion, despite the Russian invasion, despite the pandemic, Biden has made things considerably worse, and it might be because of the staff he has around him. I could not give him credit for anything economic that might make some sense, because I'm not sure he can make any sense. I'm talking about the mind sense and also the sense that go into your dollars, or it might be all you have left over after you spend a dollar. The Committee to Unleash Prosperity. Now, you can look at this group as being, you know, it's a pro-right, you could call it that, but it's really trying to just take a look at official facts. So let's just stick with their facts regardless of their mission or anything else about them. They just released a 15-page report authored by an economist, Steve Moore, and the executive director, John Decker. And it reads, "Not ready for primetime players. Majority of Biden appointees have zero years of business experience." This report examines the credentials and all the background material of 68 officials of the Biden administration, including the president, including cabinet members, regulatory officials, White House advisors. And a key finding in the report, first and foremost, they say, 62% of Biden's top political appointees and staffers who, quote, deal with economic policy, regulation, commerce, energy, and finance have virtually no business experience. Now, there's a difference between zero experience and virtually. You want to know the difference? Well, it turns out the average level of business experience among those that do have some is 2.4 years. In other words, we're not talking about economic specialists here. We're talking about folks that got appointed because of gender, race, looking for whatever is needed for the woke population, and anybody that would go along with pushing green pie in the sky over making Americans suffer. That's what they're doing here. And Biden's cabinet in the most innermost circle, the White House Chief of Staff, Ron Klain, 16 years of experience, Secretary of Interior 11, they had the most business experience. But that's pretty much it. Of course, Buttigieg, overseeing transportation, 4 years of business experience. And I don't know really what all that encompasses. But here's something else to keep in mind. Against that backdrop, and the inflation numbers are 9.1% coming out, and the decision by the Fed last month to make a sudden leap to three-quarter of a point jump on the inflation rate, on the percentage rate for interest. Three-quarter of a percent point. Many were thinking it could be as high as half a point, but no one was predicting three-quarter. And, of course, many have already said you could look for 6 to 8 more jumps coming in this year. Now this word comes out, central banks making it clear they are going to be really serious about putting a lid on inflation. Prices are soaring faster than expected, so now they're looking at even more drastic options. This means that considering that they put a 0.75% hike on back in June, which it hadn't done since 1994, now they're looking at this 9.1% inflation rate coming out. According to the Atlanta Federal Reserve Bank president, everything is in play. Everything is in play. One Fed Christopher had said last month, I think the markets would have a heart attack if we go forward to what we probably need to do. So they're trying to keep it under control, but some traders are seeing an increase as more and more likely, and markets today assigning an 81% probability the Fed is going to push it again. And it's not going to be just by a three-quarter point mark. They could go at one plus. Think about buying a home, getting a mortgage, refi. You got to keep these things in mind. There's been a report out, I haven't had a chance to dig into it, but that car repos are increasing because they bought a car and they had a percent rate tied to it, and everything else going on, the cost of the fuel, they can't do it. And now, if they have a house, they didn't have a set rate, a locked-in rate, they're getting worried about that. If they're trying to make things happen and maybe get another house or do something, they got to worry about, well, what kind of rate are we going to have when we get there? And home sales, if home sales start cratering, that's another thing the Fed has to look at, that if you look at the cost of homes, if they start falling apart, not going up like they had been, it might be great for the buyers, not so good for the sellers. But then again, if you buy, what kind of mortgage rate interest will you be paying? Inflation concerns, according to this group, is way beyond just energy. Energy, gasoline prices up 60% over the year, but it's more than that. Household furnishings almost 10%. Other issues in play. And yet we're told by the White House everything's going to be okay. Well, a CNN data analyst for CNN, Harry Enten, said, this is Biden's inflation monster.
And now It is the clear number one issue, and we see this clear correlation. As more people are concerned about inflation, Joe Biden's disapproval rating climbs ever higher. You can look at both Joe Biden's disapproval rating on inflation and Joe Biden's disapproval rating overall. And what we see is his disapproval rating on inflation is topping 70%. His disapproval rating overall is still in the 50s. But if you compare that to every single other president at this point in the first term, throughout polling history, this goes all the way back since the 1940s, he is the worst on both. Wow. And the reason he is the worst overall is because inflation is eating his presidency alive at this point.
Inflation is eating his presidency alive at this point. But again, back to the White House chair for the Economic Council, Cecilia Rouse. Trust us.
We have full faith and confidence that over the coming months that inflation will be coming down. I don't have a crystal ball. I'm not going to tell you exactly when the timing. The war in Ukraine is a big unknown. But I can tell you this. We came into these challenges with record growth over last year. We still have a labor market that is very strong and household balance sheets. I understand that they are being tapped, but they are stronger than they have typically been going into this kind of rate hike period. So, yes, we face challenges, but we also come at it from a position of relative strength.
Yeah, just like Biden said back in December. In December. And the inflation rate has gone up month after month after month. Biden continues his tour, leaving Israel, now in Saudi Arabia. And is he going to talk about the humanity issues involving Saudi Arabia? Is he going to beg for more oil? Is he just going to roll over and say, what do I need to do? Help me, help me. Stand by, please.
She'll be the death of me, at least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me, the worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary, we're worth deep in love, yes I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The only thing worse than the Iran that exists now is Iran with nuclear weapons.
You, in the past, said you'll do anything, and you say it again, that you'll ensure Iran would not acquire nuclear weapons. Does that also mean, sir, that you would use force against Iran? Is that what that means?
That was the last resort, yes.
Well, that was an interview that Biden had given before he headed for the Middle East. And as you heard him say, the only thing worse than having an Iran is an Iran with nuclear weapons. And when asked, does that mean you'd use force? Well, as a last resort, yes, but won't specify. And on one hand, I don't want him to specify. I don't want us to tell the enemy everything we'll do. But you better be ready to back it up, because Iran continues to push and push and push. And in meeting with Israel yesterday, the Israeli leaders, Biden supposedly talked to them about Iran and its nuclear capability, but what was resolved, we haven't seen any real details. The only thing we know for sure Biden did yesterday, like he has done before, at the G7 summit, or the Geneva summit, he was asked, can you take a reporter's questions? He said, oh, yes, I can. He took a question from an Israeli reporter, and he was asked to call on more. He said, well, sure, I was given a list here. And then he called on the Reuters reporter. In other words, the guy calls on whoever his staff has cleared based on the question they say they're going to ask. He's not capable of answering questions off the cuff. And it also got down to the issue, are you going to, in Saudi Arabia, are you going to talk to the Crown Prince Salman about the death of Jamal Khashoggi, the journalist who was killed and apparently laid the bottom storyline, led to the Saudi Crown Prince ordering his murder? Well, Biden sidestepped that around, said, I always bring up human rights, I always bring them up. And, of course, some are saying, why are we even bothering to work with the Saudis? To that extent, Congressman, or rather Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas, says there's a reason we need to keep this relationship.
Saudi Arabia has been a friend and a partner of the United States for 80 years. Our enemies, like Iran, is Saudi Arabia a constitutional democracy? No, they're not. But, Bill, it's a dangerous world. It's not a church picnic. We have to take our friends where we can. Their record is no worse, certainly, than Iran, which strings up dissidents from cranes, or the thousands of people who are dying at the hands of a Chinese genocide that so many democratic interests are getting rich off of China. And for that matter, Joe Biden's son got rich off of China. So Joe Biden should work with Saudi Arabia and the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia to help advance our shared interests, as presidents of both parties have been able to do for 80 years.
And Senator Cotton recognizes they may not be our best friend, but they might be one of our friends we can count on in the Middle East at this time. And that's always subject to change. But Biden previously had said back during the debates with Trump, he said Khashoggi was in fact murdered, dismembered, I believe, on the order of the Crown Prince. And from then on, he called them pariahs, what had nothing to do with them. And yet he's in Saudi Arabia right now, as I speak, and no doubt begging for oil, according to
It was very, very pathetic when Joe Biden went hat in hand to Venezuela and Iran a couple months ago as gas prices spiked, asking them to produce more oil, rather than going to North Dakota or Texas or Arkansas or Louisiana and asking us to produce more oil. That's what we should be doing. Energy independence is not just a slogan, Bill, because the opposite of it is energy dependence. And we've seen that energy dependence in the war in Ukraine and Russia's got Germany and other countries over a barrel could greatly constrain our freedom of action in the world and our ability to defend our own people and their interests.
Senator Cotton, right on point. We got oil we can do and refine and produce and drill in this country, but we've been going to these other countries which do it in a nastier, dirtier, nasty environment than what we do here. And why else would he go to Saudi Arabia, since he's called them a pariah and think they murdered the Khashoggi? Because he's begging for oil. Coming up, 250 deaths from fentanyl every day, but there are warning signs you should be watching. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it: look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. Reminding you, we are now live streaming at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, just one word, Larry Connors, USA. It'll take you to our page. You'll see previous Rumble postings. You can also see the button to push and join us live in studio. And if you can't do it now, you can go back to that page later and pull it up and watch us from the studio at your pleasure. Same thing with listening to programs later posted at LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com. The CDC says there's something like 250 deaths, 250 each day due to the fentanyl crisis in America. The fentanyl, of course, is now considered to be the number one killer of Americans between the ages of 18 and 45. fentanyl and other synthetic opioids made in China, then get into Mexico. And, of course, we have an open border, so it's easy for them to come into our country. Joining us now, Dr. Rick Lehman, founder of U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Dr. Rick, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Thank you, Larry. I'm glad to be here.
Well, let's begin, first of all. Fentanyl has some value inside the medical community if used properly, correctly? Is that correct?
Yes, sir. And, you know, it's a very strong narcotic. It's the strongest narcotic we have, and it's 100 times stronger than morphine. So, yes, it has some benefit.
But, of course, it needs to be properly administered. And how is it used to treat pain, things of that nature? Is that right?
Well, yeah, it's used for chronic pain, and it's used for pain in excess that normal narcotics or opioids can resolve. So oxycodone, morphine, Dilaudid, et cetera. So when those don't work, people go to fentanyl patches or to fentanyl. The problem with it is so strong that if you're not used to taking a narcotic, one dose can kill you. And that's why, and I think 250 a day is a low number. In
really?
My experience, I think that number is probably underestimated.
Wow. I find that number astonishing, and you think it's even higher.
Yes, sir.
Now, there are several things that you can pick up on if you see someone that you suspect, especially if they tend to be a user of drugs and you're in that crowd and you think, well, maybe they got hold of something that had fentanyl on it or mixed in with it. Or maybe you're not a user, but you just notice someone that normally acts one way, acting in totally different. There's a case of a woman just recently that apparently picked up a dollar bill and apparently had traces of fentanyl on it, and she went into fentanyl shock. What should we look for? What are the clues we should see in someone that might be exposed to fentanyl?
Well, so fentanyl is a cardiovascular depressant. So, you know, everyone always relates it to, like, drowning. So somebody could be standing there. They could be in fentanyl overdose. They're just not responsive. They slow their breathing. So it's not like they're going to convulse or do anything weird, and you might not notice anything. You just might think they're just relaxed or chilling out, and the next thing you know, they're in full arrest. So if you suspect you're at a party, someone's doing drugs, or you suspect that there's a problem, what you have to do is you have to try to alert that person, make that person alert, maybe rub on their chest or squeeze their ear or do something to make sure that they're just not fading away and dying. So it's not going to be something outstanding. They just may essentially fall asleep and never wake up.
And, well, again, if you're at, and I don't think many of my listeners would be at a drug party, but they need to talk to their kids and grandkids about this if they're not listening. And we do have a lot of younger viewers listening, so hopefully they'll relay this information. But then also just coming in casual contact, I do know that police and even canine units are very concerned about if they come across a fentanyl stash. They just busted a suspect living in a Wildwood community of the St. Louis area that was storing 400 pounds of fentanyl in a warehouse, and they had to be very careful about how they go about handling it.
So if you're not used to taking fentanyl, which none of us are and almost nobody is, you know, something as simple, so very little fentanyl mixed in with your marijuana, mixed in with your cocaine, mixed in with whatever, is going to kill you. And you have to remember that. Just a couple of specks will kill you. And so all these people that died of fentanyl overdose, and, you know, from Prince, and the list goes on and on and on, probably had it mixed in with whatever they thought they were buying. They didn't know they were getting fentanyl. And then, again, very small amount will kill you. So if you're a policeman and you're not used to coming in contact with it, you get a little on your fingers and you were to touch your face or touch your nose, which we do 30, 40 times, you know, every couple of minutes, that's been shown, that's immediately going to get in your bloodstream and you could immediately go into overdose because, A, you've not had it before. Like you or I would never been exposed to it. So if all of a sudden there's just a touch of it on our hands and it would get in our nose or our mouth, we would immediately go into arrest. It's so strong.
Now
policemen have to be very careful. I'm sorry.
No, I apologize. I just wanted to jump quickly into the fact that there are fentanyl test strips that are available out on the market for people, but I'm hearing mixed reactions about those. Are they effective or not?
Well, I don't think they're very effective, and I think they're going in the right direction. That needs to be better perfected. But right now, they're not very accurate. They always basically show up negative.
And then if someone has this and you reckon, and again, the woman that said she picked up the dollar bill, she said exactly what you said, like felt like she was drowning and couldn't breathe and just lost interest in breathing. And so she was going in cardiac. If it's that common and it just kind of spreads and gets somewhere, they now have a drug they'll hit them with right away, the naloxone, right? Why is that?
Right. So
why is it not be carried by everyone and available everywhere?
Well, we think it should be. And there's a new drug coming on the market. It's called Narcan, naloxone. And there's a new drug coming on the market where if you suspect someone's going on an overdose, you put one of these little pills underneath their tongue and they immediately respond and wake up. But again, you know, I think anybody who's going to drug parties and the police and the EMS, et cetera, all should carry Narcan. Now, the problem has been nationally supply chain. There's not enough Narcan out there for everyone to carry it to help all these overdoses because it has become so unbelievably common.
Yeah. Now, the other thing very quickly, we now have what they're now calling BA5, a new subvariant representing at least 65% of new COVID-19 infections. It's almost like they're sounding the alarm again. Here it comes. We're not done with the pandemic.
Well, the BA5 is an extremely diffuse variant of Omicron. It's very contagious, and lots of people are getting it. And fortunately, it's extremely non-virulent. So if you get it, you get it, and probably not much is going to happen. And again, at some point, I think we're reverting back to the baseline, and the baseline is the garden variety flu and influenza A, influenza B. And I think that this variant is probably weaker than the variant of flu that we're used to. So yes, you know, everybody wants to get all excited, but again, are we going to get that excited for just the flu? I don't think we are.
And well, again, I don't know. Some are suggesting maybe we need to go under lockdown again.
It's crazy. I think, first of all, I don't think America's going to buy it. And I think if everybody goes back to saying, hey, you got to wear masks, I don't see people. My patients are not going to buy that.
Now, the other point of that is vaccines and now approved all the way down to age 5 months. When the fatality rate 0 to 18 years of age is, what, 0.1%? Why so much concern about convincing parents you got to give this to your child, not knowing what the long-term effects will be, maybe even when they become adult and try to have children?
Well, I think it's crazy. And again, I think the rate's lower than that. And I think that even if a six-year-old or a two-month-old or a 10-month-old or whatever got COVID, so what? So you're 5 years old, you get COVID, no harm, no foul. And I think to vaccinate all those kids, the only one benefiting from that is going to be Pfizer or Moderna. No patients are going to benefit from that.
The other concern I have there along that line, if it's only approved down to 5 months right now, that's the latest, they're still giving it to women who are pregnant carrying a baby that's obviously younger than 5 months.
I'm not a fan of vaccinating pregnant women, number one, and I'm not a fan of vaccinating adolescents. And again, the reason is the juice just isn't worth the squeeze. Yes, some of these kids are going to get COVID. And you have to ask the question, is the COVID worse than having post-vaccine issues, which we don't know about because we haven't been able to study it long enough.
We don't know.
Part of the problem is we don't know. And that scares doctors.
All right, Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Again, we thank you for your time, sir.
Larry, thank you.
Coming up, you don't want to miss this next segment.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
Mustang Sally, Says two pedals slow, then Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Let me begin with an apology for you. I never like to give you just a generic tease of something coming up, but something was breaking on the wire at the time as I was closing out, and I wasn't sure where it was going to fit or if I was going to get it in at all. It has to do with the GLAAD organization, a non-governmental organization, monitoring organization, founded as a protest movement against defamatory coverage of gay and lesbian people. And, of course, its coverage extends to LGBTQ, the entertainment industry, and everything else. So here's what the story is. And I wasn't sure exactly where they were going with it when I first saw it. But the CEO of the GLAAD group, Kate Ellis, thinks that social media crackdowns and government intervention steps are necessary to guarantee online safety for members of the LGBTQ plus community. She said, we do need government intervention. We need the right policies. All this has been going on for a decade. Congress has been really ineffective, to say at the best. They all lack essential protections for members of our community. Well, I'm not going to disagree with her concern about online bullying of anyone because of their sexual preference. I am against that. But riddle me this, and I'm looking at this story, do I see anywhere in here, I'm looking, and if you're watching this right now at rumble.com, you can see I'm trying to find another part of the page here that says she's also concerned about the safety for U.S. Supreme Court justices who didn't go the way they wanted them to when it came to Roe v. Wade. No, she doesn't say anything in there about that. And there's a clear, specific federal statute regarding their protection. And the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, doesn't bother enforcing it because, well, they made the wrong decision. They have to live with it or die with it. There is a Center for Organizational Research and Education, CORE, study that shows in California, when they started their diversity, equity, and inclusion classes, they raked in as much as $1 billion, that's with a B, $1 billion in taxpayer money just over the last year. They came out with staff positions, outside consultants, training sessions, educational materials, all to expand anti-racist, anti-bias indoctrination, partly to deal with LGBT community, partly to deal with racial hatred, partly to deal with anything that they considered you're on the wrong side. $1 billion. How much do you think we could have done to help the poor in our neighborhoods with that $1 billion? As opposed to hiring outside consultants and hiring diversity staff at various universities. The organization points out that all of this is basically depicting America as a racist and terrible place. And that the spending is totally out of control. The people of California are footing the bill directly in their state, but if they take state money for that, then they're going to need federal money to fill in the state gaps. You know how that circle works. And then since we're talking about America is seen by these diversity experts as being a racist and terrible place, and we have Brittany Griner, WNBA star of the Phoenix, still in a Russian prison because she imported illegal substances into Russia, has pled guilty to it, now begging with a letter to Biden, help get me out of here. And NBA star LeBron James the other day made a comment saying that, if I were her, I'm not sure I'd even want to come back to the United States. He got a lot of backlash. I told you yesterday about that. And he quickly tried to clarify and said, I didn't mean to be knocking our beautiful country. But you did. That's exactly what you did. And how many people are trying to break into Russia? How many are trying to break into China or Cuba or North Korea? And if they're caught, what do you think is going to happen to them? But LeBron James got called out by another NBA player, Enes Kanter Freedom. He's from Turkey originally. He's been an outspoken voice, especially in the NBA, on global issues and the use of slaves to carry out, especially religious slaves, to carry out production of various products for the NBA and other sports teams. He's aimed particularly his complaints against the Turkish president, who now put out an arrest warrant for him, if they can find him and get control of him. The NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, continues to remain silent on all this. Perfect. Just perfect. Keep your mouth shut. You're not doing anything anyway. But Kanter called LeBron out, said, no, you call it you're taking a step back. We call it a walk back. And you were free to leave, buddy, talking about LeBron. And maybe you should volunteer to exchange yourself for her. No response from LeBron.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.